Morning. Love you all. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for proving and walking by faith. Our lesson title this morning is Grateful. And last week, you know, I touched on that a little bit. We touched on that, but you know, I looked at the verse. I started to decide what the lesson title was going to be this week. And I said, well, grateful. But what you're going to realize is, not what you think. Because this passage right here is the only passage in the Bible that the word grateful is mentioned in. And that seems, if I was going to ask you, you might say, oh, 50 times, 100 times, 20 times, one time. One time, this specific word grateful, a lot of intents, a lot of understandings, a lot of principles about being grateful, but it's the only spot in the Bible that grateful is mentioned. So the next question is, you know, this is the month of the year of plants, okay? What did we see last week, plant-wise? Forget-me-nots. Forget-me-nots. Right? Because we talked about not forgetting God last week. Well, this happens to be a castor oil plant. And a castor oil plant is what someone on Google said potentially could be the plant that shaded Jonah. So that's the reason why I bring up the castor oil plant. Maybe a visual image of what might have given shade, potentially. Jonah was grateful for a plant. And I think it unique. Okay, I just took out a small passage here, but I think it very unique that Jonah was grateful for a plant. Of all the passages in the Bible that talk about being grateful, Jonah was grateful for a plant. Not grateful for the grace of God, the mercy of God, the salvation that Jesus brought, the food and the manna that was dropped on the earth, the killing all the evil people that want to kill me. Excuse me, saving me from all the things that we could be saved for. The kindness of Jesus. The insight and love of Jesus. The healing power of Jesus. No, it was Jonah. He's grateful for a plant. And the reason why I wanted us to think about being grateful for a plant is because what overshadowed his gratefulness for that plant was him being angry. Now, how many of us have been grateful for a plant before? I've had gardens. I love to see them gardens come up. I love planting the plants, you know, and seeing the fruits of a garden. I remember growing up. Now, I didn't like to see all that stuff have to be harvested, and I had to shuck peas, okay? Or I had to cut corn or shuck corn. But I sure liked to eat. But folks, when I started reading this passage of scripture that Jonah was very grateful for a plant, I looked at the passage and said, Jonah got angry. Jonah got angry about people wanting to do the right thing and follow God. Jonah got angry because God asked him to do something. Okay? But he was grateful for a plant. Let's read this passage together, Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? I told you so. Kind of an attitude to God. To God. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you were a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And he made for himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that he might that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as the morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant and that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God had prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry about, and even to death." But the Lord God said, "You had pity on the plant for which you had not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And I should not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock." Now, see, Jonah was grateful for the plant. Then he got angry about the plant. That ever happened to us? "God, I need this. God, I want that. I want this to happen. Job, give me. Lord, I want this job so bad. Why me, Lord? I hate this job." Isn't that the same thing that Jonah did here? When I read this and it says, God asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And I examine myself, folks, in my life, and the times that I become angry, is it right for me to be angry? My grandchildren's disobedience sometimes arises discontent and potential anger. Is it right for me to be angry? Be angry and sin not. Look at a passage. You know what? That passage, Jesus reiterated and said that, but it's written, David read it in Psalms. Be angry and sin not. It's Old Testament too. It's not wrong to be angry about things, but how did Jonah display his anger? "Kill me! I'm done! I'm giving up!" Of all the people that had the right to be angry, it would have been Jesus. And for us following, Jesus, when he was put to the test, and when he was had to look sin in the face, and he had to look liars in the face, and accusers of the, into the face, and people that hated him, and wanted to murder him, he didn't say, "Take me now, God, I'm done with this place. These people don't want to follow me." No. No. He said, "Thy will be done." And it's the same way with us. God says, "Use my will when you're angry. Pray to me. Ask for help. Don't say something you'd never forget." You know, the biggest mistakes I think in my life, folks, are when I was angry and I said things or thought things or did things that I regret. The majority of my regrets in my life, 56 years tomorrow, in case you were wondering, any of you, or when I became angry and did something that was either sinful or I regret. It was just not in the character of following Jesus. And for us, and I bring this lesson about, I'm not grateful, we're not grateful when we become angry and sin. We need to remember to be grateful when we become angry, okay, so we don't sin. Okay? I need to be grateful when grandchild makes me angry because they're disobedient. When a co-worker makes us angry, do we need to get back at them? Do we need to make a scene? Okay? Or do we need to be angry and sin not? It applies to all kinds of examples in our lives. And for me, folks, I want to be the most like Jesus as I can be because I believe in all my heart that's the best Don I'm going to be. So when I look at these passages in the Word of God about anger and say, you know, let me just give you an example. How good is it? Let's just say today's the Super Bowl. Belichick gets so angry, okay, that he gets thrown out of the game. And he's rightfully angry because the refs didn't follow the rules and they made the biggest mistake in the world. How does that benefit his team? How does he help his team if he gets removed from the sidelines? And us in our lives, if we get so angry that we're not grateful and we're not displaying the characters of Jesus, how does that benefit us as our representation of the kingdom of heaven? We can't. We're done. We're removed, at least from that situation. And a lot of times, those are people we love and care about. Just like Belichick, if that train, he's probably not going to do that, okay? He's seasoned enough. But if he did, you know, was he really grateful for the opportunity he had? Did he really love those people? It's letting gratefulness and the love work in our hearts, okay, instead of ourselves sometimes. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, right? And who is he? Just some schmo off the street? No. Here's a guy, one of the smartest guys ever walked the face of the earth. Okay? He writes, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. For anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, 'Why are the former days better than these?' For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." Let me ask you this, folks. How similar is, why were the former days better than these? Those were the good old days. How many of us have said that before or heard that? And I know I've heard that before. I'll also tell you this, though. This passage, okay, I'm angry about my life. I'm angry about what God's given me. I'm angry. I'm not content. I'm not grateful. I wish I could go back to 1980 when I was 18 years old. You still 56. I'm just kidding. I don't wish that, folks. These are the good old days. God wants me to be, he set me on this face of this earth to be 56 years old tomorrow. I got to accept that. Embrace that. Enjoy that. Be grateful for that. I'm also reminded my dad died when he was 58 years old of cancer. My stepdad died when he was 40 of cancer. I'm grateful. Very grateful. We all know people have passed, folks, our loved ones, that we consider way too early. But I say, look at this passage, okay? Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. Some people just like that. They like being riled up. They like being hateful and mean. Folks, there's a time in my life I like to make fun of people way beyond what would be considered humorous, more spiteful, more hateful. I was good at it. But I'm not proud of that now. I don't want to be that way now. I do not want to be hastened to be angry. I don't want anger to stay with me. Jesus said this about being angry in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say in you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before your altar, and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on your way with them, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And obviously, folks, I just highlighted a couple passages that align with being grateful. Being grateful. Angry with his brother without cause. I'm going to give you a simple example of what happened to me this week in my life. I got my W-2 form, and I signed a piece of paper that said, Don, you should be paid this much money. So when I got my W-2, I thought my W-2 form should say, Don, you got paid this much money. And I wasn't happy about it. I was pretty miffed. Now, I didn't throw things and kick the dog and anything like that, but it weighed on my heart. It really did. I'm like, you know, there's enough money difference there that I'm getting gypped. What's right, what's right. So I asked my boss. I said, hey, that's something, you know, I know my heart can talk to you. And he said, yeah. And I asked him, he said, yeah. He says, our company is wise enough that we take all medical expenses and all your insurance premiums out pre-tax so you don't get it on your W-2. Here, I'm angry. I'm angry about not understanding the whole picture. And I bring that to light for us folks to make sure, just like this passage, don't be angry without a cause. Let's make sure we see the whole picture. Sometimes we never will. I had an opportunity to get some closure there on that. There's instances in our lives where somebody or something makes us angry, and they didn't mean to. You ever ask somebody, you know, you really made me mad when you did that? I didn't even thought about it. Or said that. Make sure we have a cause. Just because we feel something does not give us just cause. We due diligence should look into things like that. First, be reconciled to your brother. Folks, I talked to my wife about it, okay? And here's the thing I didn't want to do. What if I'd have went to work? Let's just use that as an example in life. I went to work and said, this company's ripping me off. I can't believe they didn't fulfill the commitment I signed. And I told 4, 5, or 6 people before I asked somebody about the truth. Try to get some reconciliation, folks. Follow the principles of Christ. Being kind, tender-hearted. We're going to read those here in a minute about some things. Follow Jesus. It says, agree with your adversary quickly. Folks, sometimes being angry and winning doesn't equal success. Sometimes you just, you know, the boss is always going to be the boss. Okay? Wives, remember that. The boss is always going to be the boss. Husbands, remember that. See, you thought I was going to go somewhere. Now I'm going to turn around. Wives, remember. Husbands, remember. The boss always boss. Sometimes in our lives, okay? You know the old song, I fought the law and the law won. The law's there for a reason, folks. What, you know, we live in a civilized society. Same thing with following Jesus. His principles are there for a reason. That help us. Help us. Our last passage this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, and it is written, therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I've never in my life woke up and said, today I'm giving place to the devil. I'm going to follow Satan. Never in my life have I done that. If I was a mathematician real quick, I'd tell you how many days is there are 56 years, but I'd have to use a calculator. Somebody could if they want, but all in days. Folks, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Very wise understanding. It's okay to be angry. Don't sin about it. Make sure you follow the principles we've looked at this morning. But folks, you wake up the next morning and you're still stirring about something, you need to pray about it. You need to find and go to your brother if that's the case. Or if it's your wife or your husband and you're angry with them, you need to go to them and get resolved. Unresolved anger creates people to sin and gives an opening to Satan. And none of us want to follow Satan, folks. So when you recognize you're angry about something, there's a couple things to do. There's something else you can do just like Jesus. I'm right. I'm going to forgive and forget. Or I'm not right, and I made a big mistake, and I need to ask forgiveness. Being grateful is being kind to one another. Being grateful is being tender-hearted. Being grateful is forgiving one another. Being grateful is remember how God in Christ has forgiven us. The biggest time, some of the biggest times in our lives, folks, we are tempted not to be grateful is when we're angry. And I pray this lesson this morning has reminded us to be a champion over those times that we're tempted in our lives. Brother DC, thank you. When you picked songs out, you picked out songs about how precious and what Jesus did for us, and being grateful for our salvation and his example. I ask us to remember the things we've looked at in God's holy word this morning. Is it right for you to be angry? Anger rests in the bosom of fools. First be reconciled to your brother. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Let all anger be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiven one another. Be grateful. If you haven't placed yourself under the lordship of Jesus, if you haven't said, God, I want to follow you and I want to have eternal life, I have my sins washed away in baptism, we offer that opportunity this morning. If there's something in your heart you want to make right, that's a neat thing about God's power. He accepts it no matter where you're at and what you're doing. We plead with you to do that this morning as we stand and sing a selected song.
Have the afflictions been there?